Want instant MVP status? Join the new Dick's Scorecard Plus program. For $99, Scorecard Plus members enjoy 1 year packed with perks, like $80 in annual bonus rewards, free shipping with no minimum purchase, triple points on 2 purchases, and more. That's over $160 in benefits. Join Dick's Scorecard Plus today and score more than ever. Tap the banner to learn more. Exclusions and terms apply. Visit Dicks.com/scorecardplus for details.
Hour number 2, Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3, The Game. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Nick Kieser here with you on this Wednesday morning. Paul Kuharsky from PaulKuharsky.com will be with us later in the program. We'll get into all things Tennessee Titans with him, so looking forward to that, as we do every Wednesday morning with PK. Taking your thoughts on our phone and text lines, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. 615-737-1025 is our phone number, 615-737-1025. So, Joe, an interesting conversation, the majority of which that I've seen being peddled by our friend Wes Rucker over the last few days.
He's been active.
On Twitter. He has been very active. So, Alabama gets left out of the 12-team playoff. SMU is in, even after their loss in the conference title game to Clemson. There's been a lot of debate as to whether or not that was the right move by the College Football Playoff Committee, or whether or not they should have gone with Alabama, even though Alabama had 3 losses and got smoked by Oklahoma in the second to last week of the regular season. Now, Tennessee fans largely taking a lot of joy in Alabama being out of the playoff, as they should.
Absolutely.
It is, first edition of the 12-team playoff. Your team is in. Alabama finds themselves on the outside looking in. Haven't had too many opportunities for a victory lap over Alabama the last 15, 20 years. And now you got the combo of beating them, and they're out of the playoff this year. So pretty good time for Vols fans. But as Wes Rucker and some others have pointed out, is this actually a good thing for Tennessee? Is this actually a good thing for SEC teams that potentially moving forward, you know, there's the whole yelling back and forth of scheduling now of what they're going to do with their non-conference scheduling. And in Wes's view, if they're not rewarding quote-unquote good schedules and good wins, like Alabama does have against Georgia on their resume, is that eventually going to come back to bite your team in the SEC? Is it going to come back to bite Tennessee at some point? Would a team like SMU eventually get in over Tennessee in a similar scenario? Joe, your thoughts on this. Should Tennessee fans be hesitant with their victory lap against the Alabama Crimson Tide?
No, my God, enjoy the hell out of this. I mean, every year is going to be different. And look, they're going to change stuff. We talked about it a little bit off the air. I mean, I do think a little bit more formalized, like basketball, you know, metrics that are, again, I don't think that we go all computer, but a little bit more being clear and consistent with what matters would be great. Okay. Transparency. I mean, I think this year they didn't do a very good job of communicating things, and there was some inconsistency. That said, this whining from the SEC people is just amazing to me. And again, there's some BS in it. I don't buy this idea that now all of a sudden we're going to stop seeing any good games scheduled.
Yeah.
The point being, and yeah, there is a, like, it's absolutely fair to come back and say you lost conference games. You lost Bama. You lost to 6-6 Vanderbilt. You lost to 6-6 Oklahoma. You lost by 21 to 6-6 Oklahoma at the end of the year. But the point being, their point is, but the grind of the SEC, well, I guess we'll just have to schedule nobody. I wouldn't do that, because I think that Alabama would not have been close if they didn't have the blowout win at Wisconsin. I mean, like, they still got credit for that. The SEC got credit for what Georgia did to Clemson. But the problem is, again, the biggest problem of all this is these conferences are 97 teams, and, like, being in the SEC is totally different for one team than the other. Georgia, again, now they play not only Clemson and Georgia Tech, so they play 2 legit games, which is more than almost anybody anymore in college football, right? Basically, teams play 1.
Yep.
They got, you know, they go to Kentucky, go to Bama, then Auburn home, Mississippi State. They go to Austin. You know, they got the cocktail party game. They go to Ole Miss. They have Tennessee coming in. I mean, that's
– oh, they had a home game?
They did have a home game.
Okay.
That's the amazing thing is, like, yeah, he's like, send us on the road. They had all but 4 games in the state of Georgia.
I just saw Wild. Kirby yelling the other day about being on the road the whole year.
Yeah, that was interesting. I mean, I was here for the whole thing. Okay, so then, so that's Georgia. That's being in the SEC, right? So Texas, which, by the way, did get credit. Texas got credit for going to win at Michigan. They had to have, because I can't explain otherwise, like, they're standing. You want to be in the SEC and bitch about rankings and stuff? How is Texas where they are the whole year? I don't know. But their schedule, let's see. They had a nice Mississippi State at home, little Oklahoma and Dallas. They did get Georgia at home. Got Vanderbilt here. Got Florida at home. Got Arkansas on the road. Got Kentucky at home. And they go to A&M. I mean, it's just how it works out. When you have leagues this big, being in the SEC can be completely different for one team than the other. So I would not really think about getting rid of my non-league Power Four game. I think that's stupid. And I don't think it's reality, because TV runs this thing. TV's pushing them like hell to go to a ninth game, which they should do. You're not getting rid of these games. So what is the solution? I mean, it's not an SEC crisis. That's how people are acting, right? Like, well, SEC must do something. But I know what's going to happen is this is going to be fuel for them to demand four guaranteed spots in the next playoff, which if you're an SEC fan, you are absolutely correct in saying you have the best league. It is the best league. I mean, it just got better with Texas and Oklahoma. It's just too big. But it is the best league, easily, okay? But my God, is your league soft if you demand. And the Big Ten is too, and they're not even nearly as good as the SEC. It's so ridiculous to say, we must have four spots or we're going to take our ball and go home. I mean, grow up.
No, it's all weird. Like, you're exactly right. The conferences, when you have this realignment going on and you've eliminated divisions, you know, this is the result of it. You have imbalanced scheduling, and that's why I said the other day, like, getting to the conference championship and losing doesn't really mean a whole lot to me. Like, if, you know, Georgia gets there, their path to get there was impressive. They had a tough schedule. You just went through it. They win it. They deserve the first round bye that they're getting. Like, Texas, go look at their schedule. Like, getting to the conference title game, it's just you're going to have now, with the way that the current setup is, an imbalanced schedule every year, where naturally some teams are just going to have a way more difficult path than others. Now, was that the case beforehand? Yeah, to a certain degree. Like, if you're a Tennessee fan, you're sitting here saying, well, under the old way, it was the divisional setup, and our cross rival opponent was Alabama, and, you know, Ole Miss was playing Vanderbilt every year. Like, it's not. So there's some level of inequality on your schedule anyway.
Right.
But the more teams that come into your league, the more all over the place it's going to be at that point.
You're going to have random stuff. So people are looking at it like this. You're like, oh, the Big Ten has four. This is here. So that's BS. Look, I mean, Indiana's an amazing story. But Indiana, I mean, they lucked out.
Like, yeah.
That's what it is. They lucked out. They went 11-1. They lost the game at Ohio State convincingly. They dominated the other games. It does matter. I do think that the committee watches the football and watches the team. They're a good team. Now, if they were in some of these other schedules, would they be 11-1? Oh, I doubt it. I mean, but again, that happens to the SEC too. Would Texas have the record they have being Atlanta if not for their schedule? I doubt it, okay? And I'm sorry, but like Alabama, dude, you lost 24-3 to freaking Oklahoma.
Yeah.
Like, you were right there. Miami blows it. They're out of there, as they should have been, and you blew it. So, Josh Pate, interesting thing I saw before the show, CBS, he does a good job, he does a good show. He has, you know, this idea about – so he had this idea of so part of the fix here is, instead of having conference championship games, like, one, it would be like if you have auto bids, so if your top teams are already in because you have, you know, whatever, you have – like these auto bids, you could do like the bubble teams having play-in games against each other instead of the conference championship game. Yeah. I'm intrigued by the games, but I don't see how that works. Like, we're going to continue to have conference championship games because they make money, and you're not getting rid of things that don't make money. But, I mean, it's just getting there is going to be in a lot of years. It's just pure luck.
Well, bottom line on the scheduling stuff too, you're scheduling these games so far out that if you do take that approach, if you're like some of these ADs and you're like, well, we're not scheduling anybody anymore. Well, who's to say the criteria for what the committee cares about doesn't change
exactly
3 years from now.
I mean, every
it changes
year.
Every year. It changes every week.
Right.
So, like, this idea that, well, clearly they don't care about strength of schedule, so we're not going to do that anymore. I mean, which way is the wind blowing? Because that's what the committee cares about. It changes all the time.
That's exactly right. You think that you can count on this 1 year sample tells you exactly how it's going to be? Oh, okay. Good luck with that. I mean, we're about to go to 14.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Which is eventually getting to 60. Like, that's where it's going to end up at some point.
And by the way, there are bigger picture things, which is, remember, like, fans and how we want them to have good games to go to and watch and things like that? Yeah. I mean, sometimes the TV people are right.
615-737-1025, our phone number. Take more of your thoughts on some college football here, including, are the Ohio State Buckeyes looking past Tennessee a little bit? We'll get into that coming up next. Robbie and Rex Road, 1025-1063, The Game. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road, 1025-1063, The Game. Taking your thoughts on our phone and text lines, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. And the YouTube chat, which is flowing. Going back to our college football playoff / scheduling conversation. Jacob on YouTube says, the most obvious fix is they got to get rid of the auto buys for the conference champions. It should get you in the playoff, but not automatically a buy. This from Jacob on YouTube. What do you make of that?
Yeah, well, that's not what we're talking about, but I agree. I think a lot of people are looking this year like, yeah, the seeding is just, you know. Let's see the – again, you can't be exactly the same as basketball, but you seed it. Just like basketball, you have auto bids, and then you just seed the tournament. I think that's a – but that doesn't fix the, we're not going to schedule anybody anymore problem that some people are trying to make a reality.
Got a lot of people on the text line just saying, hey, SEC homers, quit being babies, just win. Things like that.
Quindarius Washington says, tell me you know nothing about college football without telling me. See Joe Raxroad?
Raxroad.
Raxroad.
That's a new one.
There's a new one. All right. There you go. Neither SMU nor Alabama are winning the CFP, so it doesn't really matter who got it anyway. Well, it matters. It's still a big deal. Again, like 68-team tournament in hoops, and like every year there's 5-6 teams that are furious. Yeah. It's a huge deal to get in or not get in. It's big for the conference with money. And I tell you what, I think this year, and I don't know if this is going to be the case, maybe in years to come we'll have like another Georgia team where it's like, yep, you don't want to mess with that. Or another Bama team. Or
Oregon's that team this year. I don't know.
I doubt it. I really don't think they are. I mean, I think they're the best team. I had to fill out a bracket, which is funny. I filled out my bracket, and I did pick them. But I watched Penn State run for about 250 on them the other night too. Yep. So no, it's this tournament could get wild, especially also by the way with Georgia, Carson Beck and his injury. You know, the Indiana Notre Dame winner may find things a little easier in New Orleans.
Yeah, may do that. Jackson on the text line. I don't understand why they don't just reseed after each round. I don't know that I would like that, but like this is where the automatic, going back to Jacob's point on the YouTube chat, this is where the automatic buy for your top four conference champions drives me nuts. Because Oregon, I brought up the Oregon example the other day. They're undefeated. They win the Big Ten. They're the number one seed. They're taking on the 8-9. And because you've slotted in these other conference champions, it knocks everybody else down.
Right.
And Tennessee and Ohio State are the 8-9 matchup. And if you're Oregon, you're sitting there saying, oh, good. We get to play the winner of Tennessee and Ohio State. Meanwhile, Penn State, who's the 6th seed, has a potential first couple of matchups of SMU and Boise State.
Yes. 2 points to make. There is an entire extra football game of bashing your head into another team.
There is.
Penn State has to play that Oregon doesn't. I mean, it does matter. Another thing about that is, I do agree, but the other side of it is, like, conference championship game relevance. I mean, that's the one thing, right? Yeah. It's like, well, that's a huge reward you get for winning to get that bye. Whereas if you take that out, then the conference title games, in some cases, are going to mean less. But, yeah. I mean, still, it's in a lot of cases with this stuff, it's a lesser of two evils. And so, yeah, I think they have to do the seeding the right way moving forward. And I think that's probably something they'll change quickly. And hopefully they'll change, the quarterfinals finals being in both, because if you're a top four seed and you don't get a home game, that's also weird.
Yeah, well, Jackson's saying that's why exactly that's why you reseed. My argument would be just seed it right to begin with. Just I'm with the idea of you don't have to reseed when you seed it the correct way to start. Just do that. Rank the 12 teams and put them in. And if you want to have conference championships, give you an, you know, the top five, get you an automatic bid into the playoff, then fine. I'm cool with that. But like Boise State getting a bye is a joke. Like, it's ridiculous. Arizona State getting a bye is a joke. It's ridiculous.
I can't wait till Boise State makes a run, man. Yeah. Boise State should have won at Oregon. Should have won at Oregon. They're one loss, but we'll see. Ashton Jeanty.
Yes, Ashton Jeanty. We'll see what happens.
He's special.
Is the Ohio State Buckeyes, are they looking past Tennessee? I watched the Ryan Day press conference the other day, and you know, he did not like say anything totally egregious in this, but it was just, it was interesting for me to think about the split in personality here between head coaches, because at one point they asked Ryan Day about, so I know you got Tennessee, but if you looked at this side of the bracket, you'd have like Oregon after that. And you know, Day went down, he's like, well, you know, I have looked at this side of the bracket, and we have some guys that have played against these teams before. We've played some of these teams already this year. It's an interesting draw that we've got. And I just think about Josh Heupel being asked that question, who, like, never wants to answer anything beyond, like, what's happening to him in that exact moment at that exact time. And had they asked Josh Heupel that, yeah, we're worried about Ohio State. That's about it. Ryan Day did not take that approach.
Yeah.
A lot of Tennessee, and look, I've seen it, you know, everybody's talking about Ohio State's path right now. They're just like, Oregon, that Oregon-Ohio State game is going to be awesome. Just saying, Josh Heupel got some rat poison on the positive direction.
I think there's some player,
if he wants to use it.
There's some player comments, too. And, you know, look, media asks this stuff. This is that you're stepping into a trap,
yep.
You know. May not be the idea, but that's what people do. I mean, look, I promise you there are people who, like, cover Ohio State or who are at those press conferences who just are totally looking past Tennessee. Like, yep. Okay, Tennessee, yeah, okay. SEC team, but man, Oregon and the Rose Bowl, oh my gosh, that's such a tough road. Yeah, the fact that Ryan Day entertained it.
He did.
Kind of interesting. I mean, he's got a lot of stuff going on. He's got, you know, the crazy thing about this game is, like, obviously if you're Tennessee, you want it to be at home, of course. It would be way better if you had a home game. It's going to be at night and Columbus is going to be tough, but I don't think it'll take too much for the Boo Birds to come out in this game.
I don't either.
You know? And Ryan Day is just the most embattled. There's no way there's ever been a more embattled 66-10 coach ever, right? But it is. And I don't know. That is a little bit of a – and I can't sit here and say that I pay close attention to his weekly pressers, but it is a little bit eyebrow-raising that you would even entertain that.
Yeah, like he did – you know, it wasn't like he was like, well, forget Tennessee. We're going to talk about everybody else. But, like – just to be, that's a perfect
to not shut it down.
It's a perfect opportunity for you to say, "Yeah, I ain't worried about the bracket, man. We're worried about Tennessee." And
he did.
He did not do that.
Take note, Vols. And real quick, Drew says, "Give Alabama the SMU schedule. They go undefeated. What about Indiana's schedule?" I said, "I don't think Indiana's going to lose by 21 at Oklahoma or at Vanderbilt. I mean, I could be crazy." He called me a Big Ten homer, but again, don't lose those games. And like both of those teams, Vanderbilt's had a great season. You know, for Vanderbilt, of course. And Oklahoma got better. Those are terrible losses.
Yeah.
Those are losses that's why you're where you are. So, no, I don't think Indiana would lose either of those games. I'm sorry.
That's the whole point of this is, like, you know.
Hypotheticals.
They're screaming about scheduling moving forward. It's like, well, you lost conference games.
Right.
And I understand that. The conference is hard. There's no doubt. But, I mean, Alabama was – it was right there for them on a silver platter. All you had to do was not get destroyed by Oklahoma. And you would have been – not only in, but probably hosting a game by the time this whole thing was said and done.
Exactly. So, yes, you can – if you want to – well, you're just going to have to stop playing people just because the schedule is so tough. Oklahoma sucks this year. That was not that tough. And you went and scored 3 points.
Yeah.
I'm sorry. You lose me with that. Someone asked, do you think Georgia would have preferred to lose out on the bye and save Beck? Well, yeah, if they knew Beck was going to get hurt in the SEC title game – sure. But again, I don't think most of these coaches are picking an extra football game. I mean, you know, we're talking about 17 games, by the way, in the era of player safety. I mean, I get it. Like, the path looks harder for sure, like for Oregon and Penn State. But that extra football game can do a lot of damage to you.
The problem is now, though, if you're Texas or Penn State, like you get to the conference championship game and then you lose. So then you've got the extra football game, and now you got four that you got to go through in the playoff if you're going to win the whole thing too. Like that's
yeah.
That's the double whammy of at least if you get to the conference championship game to play the extra one and you win it, it offsets by you not having to play the next week or in the first round. If you're like Penn State or Texas, it's like congratulations, you played an extra game and now you got it the same path as everybody else. Way to go.
Whereas Tennessee and Ohio State have been able to rest and you know get healthy and gear up for this game. It's not a bad. Not a bad thing to miss out on Atlanta and Indy for either of those teams.
615-737-1025. Our phone number, 615-737-1025. We'll get into the Titans with Paul Kuharski coming up next. You're listening to Robbie and Rex Road, 1025-1063, the game. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road, 1025-1063, the game. Got some tickets to give away to the Transperfect Music City Bowl at Nissan Stadium on Monday, December 30th. Missouri taking on Iowa. Be caller number 9, 615-737-1025, 615-737-1025. Caller 9 will win a pair of tickets to the Transperfect Music City Bowl at Nissan Stadium on Monday, December 30th. Paul Kuharski from paulkuharski.com in the house. PK, good morning.
Good morning, gentlemen. Good morning. I wanted to pick up on your college conversation there about the tournament, if I could.
Oh, we'd love to hear your thoughts.
Well, I've been here a long time, so I've come to terms with Alabama fans. Like, I understand their limitations. But how does changing their non-conference schedule have any bearing on things, considering the fact that they lost three conference games?
Yeah, well,
they didn't lose to Mercer. I mean, I would have loved it if they lost to Mercer or if they lost to
Western Kentucky.
Yeah, Western.
South Florida.
So they're going to go worse than those teams, and that's going to solve their problem?
Yeah, well, the idea being, okay, well, if we get knocked for losing these conference games, then we're going to take out the Wisconsin game. That's the one.
Oh, my God. Right. How could they bear to play Wisconsin and beat them 42-10?
Right.
We got to get rid of that game.
Yeah, but that is the
yeah. So the thinking is even dumber than I thought. Good way to reinforce my opinion of you, Alabama. Good job.
How many Alabama
are they on the Kentucky basketball yet or no?
Ooh,
a little early.
I like that.
They're doing well early. By the way, one of the best things I saw about all this was it was a mailbag. I think it was Joseph Goodman for AL.com. An Alabama fan wrote in, "We need to join the ACC." Then we'd get in.
Clemson, we'll see you in the title game.
I mean, that is the dumbest thinking ever. Things didn't work out for us, and what we need to do is not schedule a game we won by 32 points. That will fix it.
Hey, man, I'm telling you, there is a movement out there among this whole idea of, well, if the SEC is so much better and we're not going to get respected, then we're just going to take our ball and go home.
I saw the Josh Pate thing that you were talking about, which was very – well done.
Yeah, he's good.
But like you said, I mean, if you need to be guaranteed four spots, kind of a baby. If you're the best conference and everybody knows you're the best conference, go out and play like the best conference and earn your four.
But
bits.
See, but what? Here's what they'll say though:
the schedule's so tough that we lose more games.
We beat each other up and stuff. Look, I mean, I think sometimes
the committee will sift through that.
Yeah, but
this year it wasn't. I mean, it's still the best conference, but it wasn't great.
Well, there was just too much of the middling teams getting at the top teams. In the Big Ten, the top teams handled them. So a lot of people would say, well, the Big Ten's weaker. And I agree it is overall. But I also don't think, like, Michigan, Washington, whoever, are much different from, like, Arkansas, Oklahoma, or whatever. You know what I mean? That's where it's kind of like
– here's one criticism
don't
I'm
lose those games.
That I don't like. Like, look, I don't think there are many great teams in this bracket. But – and so people are saying, well, four would have been just fine. Well, I'd still rather meaningful games that have some consequence than a bunch of bowl games that mean nothing. So I agree. Like, these aren't great teams or whatever. A decent percentage of them don't have a chance. Oregon gets screwed in the draw compared to Penn State. But they're meaningful games of consequence scattered throughout our calendar, which is great as compared to the alternative of having only four teams that play in games of consequence and a whole bunch of bowl games that nobody cares about, including most of the kids playing in the games. So it's better. And that's all college football system ever gives you the option. Like, is this better than that? Yes. All right, we'll do the better thing. This is a far better thing.
I agree. You know, you could also at some point go to, you know, play nine games and have a 128-team tournament. You know, or what? I mean, you just play all good games. Everybody gets in the tournament. No one would ever be afraid to schedule. Everybody gets in. What? How about that? Let's get radical.
You want to see me get violently angry? Let's do that.
How about the SEC
play? Hey, all the regular season games will be good.
Yeah. How about the SEC play all SEC teams, and then you can play your out of conference games in the 12-team playoff when you get there.
15 games.
Well, no, but you could do a better job of evening out the SEC schedule and not having Texas play no one if they didn't play, and I don't know who their patsies were.
The Big Ten plays nine, SEC plays eight, so you can take that non-league game and say, well, the Big Ten plays conference game with that. So.
There's no reason on earth for Alabama to play Mercer and not to play Wisconsin. So I like to see it, but I'm the biggest proponent in the world of getting rid of Alabama Mercer.
I mean,
it should be disallowed.
Tennessee Kent State was a lot of fun this year.
That should be disallowed.
Nico,
next year I'm going to go
look great. Negative.
Next year I know people are going to wait with bated breath on this. Every Saturday I will tweet. Yeah, there was a lot of reason to play X, Y, Z, and I'll list off the 40-point blowouts that have no reason to exist except to fund lower programs, and they got to find a reason to. Find a way to fix that. I don't care about Mercer's funding.
Yeah, I mean, it's
wow. Just Mercer catching strays.
Mercer is catching strays, but to his point, like that's when the conference is expanded like this, and you start to get these super conferences. We've talked about this. Like it's going to change eventually the way the landscape. It's already doing it with the transfer portal, right? Like these mid-tier programs. Either you're developing these guys for 2 years and then you're losing them to all these big-time programs, or they're just getting paid elsewhere and not even showing up to begin with. And eventually that's going to trickle down to the games, right? Like with all the money that's flowing around right now with NIL and with the transfer portal, how long is it before ADs look around and say, you know what? Why are we paying so-and-so $1.5 million to come in here so we can have, you know, basically an inter-squad scrimmage coming up? Does that change the way they schedule moving forward,
and
too?
And the coaches, and you're right, but the coaches, and this is what's true about the SEC, they're all like, I want to only play those
exactly.
games. My team, I'm not going to lose all these games and then not get in. So that's
– Let me tell you about Alabama Mercer, though. The pageantry. Oh, my God.
They still had the band and the cheerleaders.
And
yeah. They had the tailgating.
I mean, never mind the football. Football's tertiary there. I mean, there was a tailgate. People got drunk. The cheerleaders looked pretty. The players had eye black on. And there were and there was a band. I mean, forget the football. Forget the first half and the second half. Halftime was unbelievable. And they made nice hot dogs.
I do want to get your thoughts on it looks like this Bill Belichick to North Carolina thing may actually happen.
I thought your conversation was great. I think, I mean, it's not only that thinks he's not going to get an NFL job. I think the NFL jobs he might get, he doesn't feel like he can excel at to the degree that he wants and have the degree of control. I've thought about this from Mike Vrabel's perspective too. Different guy, obviously. But I think increasingly if you might have some hand as a job, and we've heard this with Ben Johnson turning down things, you look at certain situations, and this is where I think maybe we're going to see a gap develop with some of the have-nots. We talk about the ability to turn around a team, right? You go, you hire a coach, and things can happen. And sure, some of these young coaches are going to, you know, always accept jobs. There's only 32 and all of that. But I think there's an assessment level now of good coaches, including Ben Johnson, who's not one like Mike Vrabel has, or certainly not Bill Belichick, where they look at a team and say, I'm in a really great situation here at Detroit. Do I want to go work for Dave Tepper?
Right.
Do I want to go work for a dysfunctional team with ownership that's proved time and time again, the Jets, that they botch it? Do I want to go work for the Giants where Mara has become non-functional and they look at the last five coaches they've hired and they've all been disasters? Do I want to tag my name on that list? I have to go there and break through against like a tidal wave of lack of success. And there's so much working against me. And if I go there and I can't overcome it in 2 years, I'm dead. Like I'm a low ranking coordinator somewhere. And that's the end of my chances to be a head coach.
Maybe not. But in a lot of cases, yeah.
Right.
I mean, sometimes you can cycle back.
I mean, Joe Judge was a promising guy. I don't know where Joe Judge is now, you know?
Titans could use a special teams coach, I'll right? tell you
but,
that.
But you know what I'm saying? So I think some of them are measuring their careers now and saying, I'm not dying to go to a crappy place.
Yeah.
And Belichick's looking at it and thinking, out of that list, you know, people are trying to make the case for me going to work for Jerry Jones. I don't want it. I mean, that's crazy down there.
Yeah, like if I'm sure that if he actually had his pick, like if he knew that, there's a couple of jobs he'd probably take in the NFL over the UNC, I would think, right?
Yeah, I would think they might not pick him.
Right.
Or he's pretty sure they're not picking him because he's been able to back channel this entire time.
But even
so
with all
he knows the landscape.
Even with all that being true, I still can't get over, like, it's 72. You're signing up for that college football grind. Like, it's just different.
I just think
go to the
beach
with your girlfriend.
He's going to be able to offload so much of that stuff. He'll run it the way he wants to run it. And I can see him wanting to be Saban or Krzyzewski and embrace that campus life. You think of his dad in Annapolis.
But this is the age when they retired.
No, yeah. But, I mean, he wants to do it, and he thinks – I'm just speculating, obviously – could put another stamp on his career that, okay, he didn't get to go get Shula's win thing, but he spent 4 years at Carolina. Set a program on the right course,
right,
and sent a bunch of guys to the NFL.
Yeah, it's really fast. I when they first interviewed him, I was like, okay, that's fine.
Right.
But it looks like this might happen. Like, maybe today. Like, he might be the head coach of North Carolina as soon as today. It's wild.
It is. It's fascinating. And, yeah, that's the thing. It's like, okay, so, I mean, if you're him, then you've got to, you know, you got to believe that you can do something special. I mean, not just like, yeah, set it on the right course and had some guys. Like, you got to be doing this to try to, like, win big, right?
Is his girlfriend about to enroll there? That was some of what was going on.
Grad school? I don't know. I think she's a college graduate, right?
Is she?
She's 24 years old. I know that.
She could go to grad school then. Yeah. That'd be cute.
Exactly. Cute.
He'd hold hands. He could walk her to class and then go over to the football facility.
Now I'll be here to pick you up right when practice is over.
Here's your lunchbox.
Chutes and ladders.
615-737-1025. The Rex Rant with Joe Rex Road up next. Paul Kuharsky with us for the rest of the program. This is Robbie and Rex Road, 1025, 1063, The Game.
Sometimes he wakes up on the wrong side of the bed. And sometimes he's just, well, Joe.
Awkward moment, let's do it.
This is the Rex Rant, now on Robbie and Rex Road.
And I'm going to egg your house directly in front of Katie. Egg your house. I would have got away with it without you darn kids.
It is that time of the day, time for the Rex Rant with Joe Rex Road. Paul Kuharsky with us for the rest of the program as well. We welcome your thoughts, 615-737-1025.
I kind of like when I, you know, for the most part, I just haven't been coming up with rant topics. And then Keezer just kind of goes to work back there. So let me ask you this, Keezer. I like this one. I like this mashup. So did I actually say I'm going to egg your house directly in front of Katie? Or you put two things together?
Two things together.
What was I saying about directly in front of Katie?
I don't know.
Whose house were you going to egg?
Well, that was about fireworks.
I believe that's a crime.
Yeah. Well, it's also a crime if on July 7th you're still shooting off fireworks and my dogs are freaking out. So that's
people
why
people don't care about your dogs. Unfortunately, I'm in the same boat.
Okay, well,
my dog is my
let's
one
be,
dog.
Let's
that's
be in the egging.
my one, I'm with you. I'll egg.
Let's do it.
In your Skid Rex Road.
I'll egg.
Perusing the neighborhood.
No, let's create a business. Firing eggs. Let's create a business.
Yeah, that's a good idea. We'll egg enemy's
eggers.
House. Yeah.
Running around with like bandit masks on.
It's like Harry and Marr from Home Alone.
I'm picturing our logo already. Like,
then he really could be.
Caricatures of us with like those masks over our eyes with the kind of ties flapping in the background while we're running. It creates an image of wind.
Then he really could be Joe Pesci.
You on crutches?
Right in there.
Well,
Harry
also, and the logo, we could use your head and just kind of crack it and show a little yolk in it. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, that's good.
Think about that. That's beautiful. I don't even know
business
what
venture.
Hey, if you're a venture capitalist out there,
hit us up.
Yeah,
we'll hit you up with.
If
some
you need someone's
eggs.
House egged, give us a call.
And we'll run Inc. from the law while we do it, even though we've advertised it on the radio. We know nobody's listening right now.
At this point,
they know some weak rant is coming.
Well, the funny thing is, my rant is really just need to ask you, Paul. Did it come? You know, was this a plan, or was you just like, oh, I got to jump in? What about your future? You have a future here? I got to say, man.
That one
got us going.
It was time to get him on the record about what he's feeling about his job status, I think. I thought it was a perfect segue. He was talking future, and I was like, well, are you a part of that future?
His response, though, was unbelievable. Do you have a future? He's like, well, what do you mean?
Can we play it? Do we have that, Nick? So for anybody who already is confused by this entire segment.
You give your listeners some credit. They're not all Alabama fans.
Man.
We did have somebody on the text line.
Nick, of course, is like flailing back text there. Like, what are you talking about?
Keith on the text line texted in earlier. I was like, who knew Kuharsky had such deep-rooted hatred for Mercer? Just Mercer catching strays.
Merciless on Mercer.
I like Mercer in, you know, Mercer-level things.
Let him
go to the college basketball tournament once in a while. At March Madness, they're a nice story.
Here was PK's question to Brian Callahan on Monday.
You feel certain there is a future?
Oh, what do you mean?
For you?
Nothing wrong with that. Nothing wrong.
Oh, you're not even letting Callahan answer?
No, I think the question's fine.
Nick is not concerned with the answer.
All right, yeah. No, I mean, it was, I must say, because, you know, of course, I took it to, do you think he's dying soon, Paul? Like, do you have medical information that we're not aware of?
Great interpretation by you.
Well, it was a little bit dark. Business name, Adam and Portland, Sunnyside Down. I like that. The Ooh. Egg Bandits.
Oh, that's pretty good.
The Egg like Bandits that. Is pretty good.
Egg Bandits I also like. This is good.
Trevor says, I'd like to place an order to Egg Stillbilly's house.
Stillbilly, that first order free.
Yes.
If we go high, we know he doesn't have a ladder, so there's nothing he can do about
Buy
it.
Buy one, get one. The free one's always Stilly's house.
Yeah, buy one, get one. Yeah. Like, we're like one of those organizations like Bonobos gives away a free pair of socks to the homeless for everyone that's ordered. We egg Stillbilly's house every time we do a house. His house is just like an omelet.
Dried egg melting in the sun. Just constantly. Oh, man. I mean, there could be some T-shirts that get created out of this one, too.
There could be. I mean, if Dennis does, you know, I know we don't pay Dennis quite enough. We pay him handsomely.
Yeah.
Oh, very
not
handsome.
Quite enough. But if there's not something from Dennis soon on this, I'll be very disappointed.
No doubt.
Joel says you're Stilly-esque. This is Stilly-esque of you, PK.
What is?
The question, I guess?
I guess just maybe you in general. Yeah. At times, I do think the same thing.
615-737-1025, our phone number. We will get into the Brian Callahan discussion, the Titans discussion as a whole with PK for the next hour. We welcome your questions as well on our text line driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. 615-737-1025, our phone number. More coming up next with Paul Kuharsky. This is Robbie and Rex Road, 1025-1063, The Game.